teaser. Little snack bite.
Little snack bite.
Should we call it a quick bite? Just kidding. Too soon.
Oh, no. Let us know.
Little quarantine humor for you there.
Oh, my God. Diana, do you want to explain to the people, which will be us, just us two.
Us and close friends and family.
Close friends and family. Do you want to explain to the people who we are and what our podcast is?
My name's Diana Olympia. I'm joined by my esteemed colleague. Can I call you a colleague?
I guess.
It feels appropriate. My colleague, Stephanie Kim.
That also feels very formal. We're more than colleagues, okay?
Okay. What's a better word? We're partners? We partners? Pod partners?
Pod partners. Okay, pod wifey.
Pod partners. Podners? Did we just invent a new term live?
Yes.
So we're two podners that know each other from a former life working together. We've been talking about doing this podcast forever.
Yes.
And what better time than quarantine to finally do it? We have got to let you guys know what a struggle bus, yes, we've been on to get to this point. Many a technical hurdle, but we're very excited to present to you Repeak. And we're going to be covering basically everything touching remakes, reboots, revivals, whether that's books to movies, movies to TV, you name it. Just between the two of us personally, had a lot of Twitter messages, DMs, and texts going back and forth for the last couple of years about all the activity going on in this space. And so we thought it would be an interesting jumping off point to have a podcast. So this is our teaser episode. We hope you guys enjoy.
Yay!
Does that cover it?
No, that's amazing. That's great. That's all the things.
And I'm very excited by Podners. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Mike Posner.
I like Mike Posner.
Yeah, no, I do too. I just, not to be confused with Mike
Posner.
But
that should be his stand name.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I wonder, does he have a stand name and is that it?
I don't know. Does everyone have one at this point? Like, what about like Kacey Musgraves?
I really don't know.
I feel like she would. She has a very, like, active crowd that stands her.
Yeah, but I'm not tuned into the country people at all, really, outside of Tay-Tay.
She's, like, country pop, no?
Yeah, but, I mean, Tay-Tay's as far as I go.
Okay, so this question came up. I know we're, like, not on topic at all. P.S. This is what the podcast is going to be for those, yeah, of you listening. Yeah. So don't expect this to go linearly. It won't. I can guarantee you that. So this came up the other day, a topic of a debate between me and my boyfriend. Okay, so Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande, both famous, obviously. Are they in the same league? Like, so his opinion is that Taylor is like AAA and like Ariana is AA.
Absolutely not right.
Oh, right. Okay. Continue.
unequivocally wrong. I would say they're. I think they're both AAA.
That is what I said.
I think Tay-Tay's audience skews a smidge older, just because she's older. But Ari is the queen of like people who are 3 to 5 years younger than us and below. So,
and like all of them.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was like, no, she's like massive. Like, and especially, did her two albums come out last year or the year before? Obviously, I have no sense of time at this point.
Yeah. What is time? I don't know.
What is time? But there was that year where she had both of those albums. And it was like, I mean, just from a Billboard and like numbers standpoint, the numbers were
hit after hit.
Bananas. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you factor in the social part. Mm-hmm. She's very much a very good internet celebrity.
Yeah, she's massive. I respectfully disagree with your man friend.
It's fine. I was very like fervently arguing my point, and I just wanted a gut check.
Okay, yeah. Ariana Grande has 185 million Instagram followers.
Wow. And granted, Tay-Tay was kind of in hiding for a little bit, but
yeah,
she's since reemerged with her, you know, new album. But she's definitely not on it as much as Ari. Like, Ari has, like, daily content.
She, like, pumps it out, yeah.
And it could literally be, like, IG story of, like, her dog, and right, people are tuning in.
Yeah.
Tay-Tay is much more
deliberate.
Yeah, as you and I have discussed, very, very deliberate with her content. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes sense. So what is her count at, Tay-Tay's?
Tay-Tay's count is at 132 million. Only 132 million.
Yeah, only.
Only.
She's 60 mil behind. That's like multiple,
oh God,
countries, right? I don't know. I'm not good at geography.
So I don't know. If you're just measuring by followers alone, I would say I mean, obviously, there's more to life than followers in terms of metrics. And I'm pretty sure Taylor engineers everything so that she outsells everybody. But that's because she still pays attention to brick and mortar in a way that other artists don't and things like that. And so,
I mean, I guess like maybe she was on the scene a little bit earlier and younger.
She was, yeah.
And so I think she's had to endure and like at a higher level, right? So like mm-hmm. she came to this stuff much more quickly. So I feel like she's again kind of like navigated and managed and kind of withdrawn a little bit from the public eye, whereas Ari still seems to be mostly like, no, you guys like are totally welcome and like almost deserve and entitled to like see my life.
Yeah, well, I think it's just that Ari's Gen Z and Taylor's millennial.
Yeah. And I think she's like, I think Ari's turning the corner a little bit. Like she's being much more secretive about her new relationship with a real estate agent, although he was in her newest video with Justin Bieber. But mm-hmm. I think she mentioned it in like that Vogue profile where she's learning to be a bit more protective. But and obviously that's coming off of the very public Pete Davidson thing. But I agree. I think there's a generational thing, but I think it's also timeline in the industry and kind of learning certain things like, ooh, okay, I need to pull back a little bit or
yeah.
I'm getting tired of, you know, everyone being on my shit all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Wow, that was an interesting tangent.
Now that we covered that, now that we settled the AAA status of our favorite two of I think our mutual
favorite
all time faves.
Yes.
Also, just like a little shout out, cry face about the Lover Fest being postponed. Although we will get the special, I'm very curious what that's going to look like.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. I forgot we bought tickets to that.
Yeah, man. Did she get the email? Oh, no, maybe you didn't get the email because I bought the tickets. Oh, just kidding.
You bought the tickets. I was wondering why.
Oh, yeah, FYI.
God damn it.
Sorry. I owe you a forward. My bad. That's on me.
Way to break the news to me in public.
It's a live update. I'm sorry. Sorry to do this in front of all of our listeners.
All of our two listeners.
All of our 2.5 listeners whose completion rate is about 15% who are now choosing this moment to opt out
turn
of this
off.
Conversation. Yeah, it's fine. Thank you so much for your 15 minutes. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate
it so much. Truly. I mean, you didn't listen to any sponsors yet because we don't have any. But thank you anyway. We truly, truly appreciate your listens. Please like us. Please subscribe. Please share. Anyways, where were we going with that? Nowhere. We were going nowhere. Let's start with some real questions here. All right, we're gonna get into some real repeat conversation.
Yeah, we're gonna get our shit together. Let's give the people some context. So for our first episode, we came up with a little questionnaire. And the questionnaire, we each had to choose a thing based on each question. And each question is related to a different kind of remake or something like that. And so then, Diana, take it away.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That was great. I appreciate the clarification. I'm not good at that stuff. You'll have to do that constantly. Go team. Go team. Okay.
Yay.
So the first question we have here is basically it's about the remakes that never should have been. So either something that's already been remade that probably shouldn't have been, or something that's in the works of being remade that they should probably put the kibosh on, although it's probably too late. So either or both. Stephanie Kim, what is your answer?
My answer is Dirty Dancing from 2017. Do you remember this?
Hold on. This isn't Havana Nights, right?
No.
Okay, because I was about to,
I love
we were about to have a situation. I know, that's why I was A, confused, and B, like, about to be boiling upset with you. But mostly confused. We've talked about Havana Nights, and it's actually one of my answers in the later question.
No, this version is a fucking travesty. And
was this a, like, direct-to-DVD? Like, tell me more about this.
It was on TV. I think it, like, premiered on ABC. Abigail Breslin was Baby.
Oh, no. I do remember this. Yeah, I 100% agree with you on this. Go on.
Yeah, that's all I really wanted to say is that do not remake a sacred text, A. Like, you can't redo something like that. Dirty Dancing with Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey is a fucking classic. You can't redo it. Don't try again, okay? Let's just pretend like this never happened. That's all.
I think there are certain, like, there should, you know, there's, like, the Disney vault. There should be a vault of, like, certain things, and we should be able to, as a society, vote to put things in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in there, like, you can't touch it.
You can't touch it. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But to that point, I think like spinoffs, sequels or something, you know, might be allowed under certain like conditions, right? Because I think we both like Havana Nights, but like to redo, and you can speak more to like how exactly they chose to redo it. Like, was it a straight shot for shot?
Yeah.
Did they try to like modernize it in any way? Like, what was the vibe? Talk to us a little bit more about why this incensed you so much, aside from just the principle of it.
Well, okay. From what I can recall, because I refuse to watch it again, I'm sorry if this is going to out me as a bad researcher for this podcast, but some things are you shouldn't rewatch ever again. But I think it was a shot-for-shot remake.
That's a no-no. That's just like off-the-bat no-no.
You know, Diana, I have a big thing, especially with rom-coms. The one thing you have to get right in a rom-com is the lead casting. They have to have good chemistry, That's it. Like, that's what makes it work, is that they have amazing chemistry. That's, like, definitely a lot harder to find and execute than it looks, but that's what makes every single rom-com or romantic movie work. And they just had none.
Who was opposite Abigail?
I don't even know who the male lead was, man.
Was he recognizable or is he like a new face?
No, I think he was an old unknown, but I will look it up right now.
I agree with this answer. It was not one I had thought of, but mostly because I forgot that movie existed.
Yeah, that was mostly my point, is that it should stay dead. I'm kind of sad that we're giving it air right now, even though we only have two listeners and one of them, you know, they're ourselves. Colt Prattis as Johnny Castle, and yeah, he's like a complete unknown. Ew. Sarah Hyland's in this? Nicole Scherzinger's in this? It's a whole travesty. Don't ever try that again, okay?
Going in the vault, okay? Bye.
We're just gonna pretend like that never happened.
I feel like you have a much more fully formed answer than this than mine.
Okay, well, what's your answer?
It kind of became like a category, which is called Asian things. In particular, if you're not going to cast an Asian. So Ghost in the Shell is like my main beef.
Oh, yeah.
and so I too, I mean, this is not going to help our credibility. We should not be saying this. But yeah, I too like did not do my research. I'm not familiar with the original like text or canon, nor did I watch the movie. But I gather from the interwebs that it wasn't good. There's also Old Boy, mm-hmm. very popular South Korean horror film that was redone by Spike Lee, apparently, that apparently was a shot-for-shot like remake. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong on that. Again, poor research form. Also, did you know this? My Sassy Girl, which was a very popular South Korean rom-com from, I believe, 2001.
Yep, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Was apparently remade as a 2008 American film starring Elijah Cuthbert and Jesse Bradford. Were you aware of this, Stephanie? Were you aware of this? First of all, first question, 2001 and 2008, how does it take 7 years from like, and granted, like back in the days, like maybe international, like globalization took a little bit longer, but how, and like development time, but like, how do you go from like somebody, some exec whispering to some other exec, like, hey, we should develop this in 2001 or 2002 to 2008? Like, yeah, this still feels like a good time to release it. Like after the peak of rom-coms had already passed, and then you're going to adapt something and you're going to keep the title? Does My Sassy Girl even make sense in an American context? Like, who the fuck is going to watch that? For the K-drama audience, of which you and I have both been fervent part of throughout our lifetimes, totally makes sense. My yes. Sassy Girl, 100% makes sense as a title. Mm-hmm. As an American rom-com, My Sassy Girl? Like, what? No. In what world is that going to work? Full stop. Just like from the title. I can't speak to the casting because I refuse. I'm like, I'm not going to do it even for science purposes. Watch this movie. But no, just no. So I just kind of like bundled those things together under like Asian things. And of course, that's not to say categorically that it will never work. The Departed was adapted from a Hong Kong film called, I think it's Infernal Affair.
Oh my God, I didn't know.
Yeah, so I actually wrote about it in my college paper, FYI.
Ooh.
So yeah, obviously it can be done very well, but we're talking Martin Scorsese and, you know, an Oscar caliber cast, and that's not going to happen all the time. So
right.
Just, you know, can we just, you know, on the Asian things, just maybe take a beat? That's my request.
For people who don't know, because they can't see us, and I guess if you're judging by our last names, how dare you. But
also like amazing if you somehow like connected Olympia with a non-Greek person. Like kudos to you / did you stalk me on Instagram? That's creepy. / what? Okay, sorry. Yeah, I interrupted.
No, it's fine. So for those at home who don't know, we are of Asian American descent. I am Korean American, and Dio, you are
Pinoy. Sorry, that sounded terrible as I said it. Filipino American or Filipinx? I don't know what words I'm supposed to be using, guys. I'm sorry.
Let's just get this out of the way. This is not going to be a politically correct podcast. We'll do our best because we want to be sensitive to different groups of people, and everybody's welcome and included, but we're just going to disclaimer say that we are not the most.
No.
Or I am not the most.
No, you can include me in that. So question. So like Filipina, Pinay, is there like a version of that for Korean?
I don't know.
It's almost like, what's the stand name?
I don't know because.
Korean X, like I don't even want to try to riff on this. It's going to get me in trouble. Are you aware of any?
No, I don't think we have one. And you know what? Like, I most strongly identify with the moniker of Twinkie.
Oh, boy.
So I wouldn't know because I'm not.
You're not down?
No, I'm down. I just am not. I'm not that down. So, like,
you're like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Glad we settled that. Now that people know what to expect.
So now that we've answered one of our questions, do we want to take a quick commercial break? Or do we have time for one more?
I think we should. No, this is a good time for a break.
Okay.
Please come back if you're listening.
Please.
You can just have it like play through and just be in the other room. I don't necessarily need to know that. We just need the streams, guys. I'm kidding. I shouldn't be this desperate on
it's day one.
This early.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to edit that out. Okay.
We may not. We may not. Well, 100% transparency. That's our model. Actually, I don't know. Maybe like 90%. 90%. Yeah.
90% time.
90. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. That's
please
good.
Come back all after right. this break. Please. Okay. Please. 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 We're back at it. There was a part two to this question.
Yes. So part two is what is one remake that's in the works that we wish would not happen?
I have to say, this was a leading question from you.
Yeah. You very aptly pointed out, even though I did not subconsciously do this, it was a way for us to talk about, should we say it at the same time? Three, okay. two. One.
West Side Story. Like, what's going on, guys? What's going on? That vault we talked about? Like, this is in there on, like, the highest shelf. Like, Dirty Dancing is in the same vault, but it's, like, on a lower shelf where people can kind of access it. This is, like, on a shelf so high you need, like, a 10-foot ladder to reach. Like, no one should fucking touch this thing. I'm sorry. Even if your name is Steven Spielberg,
don't do it.
Like I can't. I can't explain to you how much this should not be touched.
We weren't in sync at all when we said West Side Story, but just so
yes, no, we were. It was in sync.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't in sync at all.
My hearing needs to be checked then. I have like
But yes, I 100% agree with you. This is not potentially, but actually my favorite movie of all time. Not the one that Steven Spielberg is destroying right at this moment. It's the one that was made in 1960. Is it 5-2? I promise, guys,
we'll do a research on the next episode.
I know. I used to know everything about this movie by heart because I did, they showed it to me in eighth grade drama class, and I just, like, completely fell in love with it. Everybody else was, like, making fun of it because they were like, nobody fights like that. But I just, like, I thought it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then I became obsessed with it. Oh, the release date was October 18th, 1961. I've seen it at least 20 times. It's a masterpiece. Nobody should touch it. And I don't understand why this is happening to us right now. Isn't 2020 bad enough?
Amen, sister. Amen. But let's, like, go down the list of, like, why this shouldn't be touched. So the first thing, which you kind of spoke to earlier, casting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, casting. In the role of
Do we even want to talk about this? I don't even know that I can handle this right now. I just don't know that I have the strength to talk about this particular thing right now.
I'm going to butcher his
name. Ansel.
No, but, like, is it, like, Elfquart? I feel like I'm, like, saying, like, a made-up wizard's name. Like, how do you say it?
Elfquart.
What is it now?
Oh, my God.
What was that?
Hold on.
One more time. Hit me with it one more time.
Elfquart. It's Ansel. Elfquart, and for those of you who don't know, I obviously am very prone to giggle fits. I'm sorry. This is gonna happen. If you're gonna stick with us, just learn to love it.
Okay, I don't know why I keep inserting an F, but in my mind, it's like Ansel Elfquart, and he's like Swiss. Okay. Anyway, so he is in the role of Tony, which
just know.
And look, not that, like, I can think of anyone else who would be better cast, but, like, that's part of the problem, is that...
Anybody else would be better cast. Anybody else. You know who I heard almost got it? I think one of the kids from One Direction almost got it, and I was like...
Oh, boy.
I was like, he would be better.
Oh, I think I did hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. There's the casting. I believe they cast an unknown for the very... big role of Maria, is that correct?
Yeah, well, that's honestly, like, that's what I, if you're gonna do this, the way to go is to cast all unknowns. That's
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
His Wikipedia says he is an American actor, singer, dancer, and DJ. So I guess that was part of why he was cast, but, like, I would much rather have had, like, real dancers or real Broadway folks taking on this role.
Historically, Tony is not the meatiest role. Like,
fair.
So, you know, I would have been fine with somebody else, anybody else, really. But, like, and it's not that I have anything against Ansel, really. Like, I love The Fault in Our Stars. He's delightful in that. I love that book. We probably should do an episode covering that. But, yeah, like, I just, no. It's a no for me.
I think, well, correct me if I'm wrong, at least in the film version, because obviously there's like a stage version of this, but...
the stage version was the original version.
Yeah, so...
For those of you who don't know.
But in the film, is it present day, technically? Like, this was a 1961 film set in the 1960s, correct?
Yes.
And so for this one, at least from the pictures, it seems like it's also trying to maintain that time period, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, what's funny is that, or not funny, but it was originally a modernized adaptation of Romeo and Juliet.
Right, which makes sense. But I don't know, it feels everything from the production to the costuming to the way it was shot, everything just feels very of the time and authentic and just, like, perfect. And I feel like trying to recapture that and, like, you know, shot on film, I just feel like, and I haven't read about how they're shooting this, but I just the look and feel is going to be very different. It's gonna look like a 2020 film of something where they're trying to capture the 1960s. And I just think from the get-go, that's already going to be a problem for me. Like, it's something that deserves to just be of that time and in that time. And something that we pick up from the archives and we watch to say, wow, that was, like, what life was like back then. Obviously not with, like, the singing and the dancing necessarily. But just, again, that look and feel, the griminess, like, the heat, those, like, asphalt New York, you know, streets, and just trying to replicate that is just going to feel so coerced, and that's the worst kind of thing for me. I just can't with that.
Right. Yeah, I 100% agree. I agree with that. And also, I appreciate the updated casting of casting somebody who's actually Latina for Maria, right? I believe that they did that, right? And because we are both not fans of when white people play Asian people, et cetera, et cetera. However, I will say Natalie Wood, like, did you have to? Did you have to, like, just why? Like,
I didn't love her portrayal of BT Dubs. Also, like, the two of them, to be fair, I didn't necessarily, they're not my favorite part of that movie, I should say. My favorite part is Rita Moreno, obviously.
Obviously.
And Bernardo, I mean, like, they are the true couple of this movie. Like, my favorite, and I want to know yours, but my favorite sequence of the whole thing is Mambo. Like, that's my favorite thing of the entire thing. And they're much at the forefront of that performance. So, yeah, I agree. I'm not necessarily precious about Tony and Maria, and yet somehow Ansel still doesn't feel like the right casting.
He's just not. That's why. A few weeks ago, I think some scandal had come out. Didn't he recently post like naked pictures of himself?
Yeah, for like quote charity.
Right. And I like texted my friend this, and I was like, literally, has everybody lost their minds? Like, what is happening right now? And also, maybe this is the scandal that will force production to reshoot everything and recast him and spend $1 million to undo this mistake that they have clearly done. Yeah, and maybe, like, listen, we're open to being wrong. If they still release this movie this year and it happens to be amazing, like, we will, I personally will eat my words, but I'm not holding my breath.
I agree with that sentiment 100%. I will also add that, you know, I definitely am all for these types of things. And I think we can say this about remakes, reboots, revivals collectively, that I'm all for these kinds of things, bringing new fans into the original, right? Because people eventually will know, like, oh, there was, you know, the original one was in 1961, or I didn't know. And then they start kind of going back and kind of educating themselves. So I'm all for that exposure to the original. But
right.
I think it's going to happen because people are going to be like, what's the deal? I don't get it. Again, definitely could be wrong. I would love to have a version that like reinvigorates it. I think the thing for me is, and I think you'll probably agree, is that like, it's just, I don't know how you improve it.
You don't.
It's just, it's perfect the way that it is, even with, you know, the Tony and Maria that I don't necessarily love. I think the characters, I'm not into them in general. There's plenty of shows like that where I'm much more interested in like the secondary cast of characters. So it's just hard to fathom a version of it that would be better. And so anything that attempts to just feels like it's going to be less in comparison. So it's just not something that I'm necessarily looking forward to. And I don't know. I don't want to like crush artistic dreams out there to like try to redo something, but it's just like, if it's perfect, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like it just feels like with some of these things, I don't know if this one in particular, but it just feels like with some of these reboots and revivals, it, you know, just feels like a cash grab at nostalgia.
Yeah, 100%.
It's marketed as like, oh, bringing this classic to new audiences, but it's doing it at the sacrifice of the original material, the original cast, the integrity of that material. And I think it mostly just upsets fans. And I don't know really how, like, isn't it possible for us to introduce new fans to the original? Like, mm-hmm. Why do we have to create this really expensive production just to introduce people to the original, just like remaster it and like re-release it and like market it or like do a special, like do whoever owns it, like let's just pretend it's 20th Century Fox, then do like a one-time, TV special, have current stars cover the numbers, even do the choreography and do it in conjunction with like the re-release and the remaster of the original.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for TV specials, right? Or like, you know, what they're doing with the Grease and stuff like that. Yes, go for it, man. But it does not need to be a full-on theatrical release thing. I think a TV special is a much better way to give homage to these things without, that feels much more in that lane versus like, I feel like you know, just the audacity of like, I'm going to like figure out a way to somehow make this thing that right. was perfect better.
And also to that point too, it would be one thing if it wasn't, it didn't look to us right now like it's just going to be a shot for shot remake. Like if it's a re-envisioning of it, if it's like set in a different, or if it's like completely updated, I still would have a heart attack and an issue with that. But at least you're trying something different.
100%. Take a swing, man. Take a swing.
Or just don't. Like we're saying, there's some things that should be top shelf and should never be touched again. And this is one of those things. And I hope that something happens to the masters and they're not able to release it. That's what I hope.
Full disclosure, if something ends up happening, this audio should in no way be used to corroborate or implicate Stephanie Kim. Okay, we should just put this on the record. Okay, right, yes. Stephanie? I need you to say the words.
Yes, okay. You're right. I will not go to any lengths to do that myself, but you know, I encourage.
No. Nope, look, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like we're edging on dangerous territory. So for the sake of your freedom, I'm going to segue us to the next question, because I don't think I could do this podcast by myself. And I don't know what the capabilities are with like recording like from jail and stuff. Like, I don't know if they have the equipment necessary. I guess like if they maybe let you do it from home. Like they give you an ankle monitor, but that would be a new twist.
Whoa, one of us.
It'd be a good marketing tool for us
from jail.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Or like with an ankle monitor. I don't know.
Look, I'm very soft. I can't make it in jail. Okay, I was just joking.
It's a very crowded pod marketplace out there, guys. We're just trying to distinguish ourselves. But moving on.
Moving on. What's your favorite book to movie or TV or whatever adaptation?
Okay, so for you, does this question mean what is a good film that happens to have been adapted from something? Or does it mean what film did the best job of adapting the material from book to screen? Because I think those are two slightly different. Or I guess, how did you approach the question?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the way that I approached it was, what's a really good movie that happened to be something else? Or what's a really good show that started as something else? And I think what makes a really good adaptation too is something that isn't necessarily 100% faithful, but manages to capture the spirit of it and makes the necessary changes needed for the medium it's in.
I agree with that. So I did it the same way, mostly because, to be honest, I haven't read most of like the book pairings, or if I have, it's been a while since I've seen them, so I can't really give a honest like apples to apples comparison.
Same.
I think the one thing I'll add to your bullet point is that it also can stand alone, right? So if you had never read the book, you would enjoy this movie, and in all likelihood you could also then go back and read the book and enjoy it, but you don't necessarily need that crutch to bridge the two together. It's just a great film or a great TV show, and it happened to have its source material happened to be a book. So yeah, I did it the same way. I think other people might interpret it the second way, but for our purposes, I think we did it the first way. So what was your pick? I actually had a few, so it's kind of hard for me to pick one, but I did have a couple.
Well, I'm thinking of two now, but I only had one written down. And you know, this is just me giving myself an excuse to talk about Timmy.
Here we go.
So my pick is Call Me By Your Name from 2017, which is, it is, I feel like in 2017, this movie obviously had a moment, but I feel like since then, people have like not forgotten about it, but like, I just feel like it doesn't, I mean, maybe it's too soon to be judging this, but it doesn't seem like people are kind of like remembering it the way that they're remembering Lady Bird. So I just wanted to give it a little shout out because I think it's a perfect movie. And I will say, full disclosure, I've not read the book. That's my pick. And I don't even know if I have to explain why or how much I love Timothée Chalamet.
You don't. And we're going to have an official Timmy counter on this podcast, or like a streak counter to see how many pods in a row you go like with mentioning him at some point.
Oh, I'm probably gonna find a way to mention him in every pod.
Yeah, so I think we're just gonna call it out when you don't, and just assume that you will mention him at some point in every podcast.
Cool, great.
Yeah, no, it's a great pick. So I had a I had a bunch written down that were, again, from the formula of like, oh, that was a good movie. Oh, yeah. And it was based on a book. So it could be, I'll highlight two and then I'll just kind of speed read the rest. So it dawned on me just like out of nowhere, Devil Wears Prada.
Me too. That's the second one I was just thinking of.
I wasn't thinking of it. And then it just like came to me and I was like, wait a minute, that is like one of the best movies, like standalone and based on a book. And that definitely, like, again, didn't read the book, but I can assume that Meryl Streep's performance brought a whole new,
yes,
you know, texture and level to that character than if you had simply read the book. So that's my primary answer. Also came to me late last night, Joy Luck Club. I will fucking stand that movie till I die.
Yes.
I think I did maybe read the book in high school. Joy Luck Club, you had basically eight stories, right? It's four daughters and four mothers. You have eight stories that are somehow very efficiently told, the mothers and the daughters in this movie that isn't, I mean, if you think about being able to encapsulate all those different rich lives in one movie, and kind of talk about their individual kind of growing ups as young girls and young women, and then also the interplay and the interdynamics of those women as daughters, as mothers, and then as, like, you know, there's a couple of the girls who are kind of positioned as rivals to one another. There's so many interesting interweaving dynamics to that I feel like hasn't, mm-hmm, really been achieved that much in other movies, especially when it comes to ones that are highlighting Asian and Asian American stories. So that was a number two for me. But I mean, there's a ton, like The Godfather, Casino Royale, like all of those are books.
Goodfellas, based on a book called Wise Guys.
And Little Women is almost where I thought you were going when you mentioned Timmy. So the Greta Gerwig version from last year, obviously there's been multiple Little Women versions. Pride and Prejudice, the Keira Knightley version, which I found out recently you were not a fan of.
I'm not a fan, but we can save that for another pod.
We can save that for another podcast. And then the other one I wrote down because it came out recently on Netflix was Perks of Being a Wallflower, which we also may cover at some point. But yes, that was my list.
That's a good list. All great movies, all started as books or something else. I want to give, and this is probably recency bias, but I want to give an honorable mention to Hustlers. Okay.
I had another category and it said it's Hustlers and Italian Job. Italian Job didn't really fit into a category, but it was a remake of something else that I actually thought was done pretty well.
I completely forgot about that movie. It's a great movie. I own the DVD.
Showcasing Los Angeles scenery. But talk more about Hustlers. I'm sorry, I digressed.
No, that's all I wanted to say is honorable mentions. Hustlers, J-Lo, you're amazing. You should have gotten an Oscar. I'm really upset that you didn't. But that Super Bowl performance, yeah, go on with your bad self. We love you, J-Lo.
I think your point was that that was one that was not necessarily from a book, but was adapted from an article that was published in, is it New York Mag?
I think it was New York Mag, yeah.
So lots of good source material out there.
Yes. Do you have any, it's interesting, we both picked movies. Do you have any like TV adaptation honorable mentions?
I tried to think of some, but the ones that came to mind were mostly revivals. And these aren't necessarily my picks, but like, again, recency bias, it's the 90s, everything from the 90s or like 80s and 90s is being remade. Mm-hmm. So whether that's like the family sitcoms, like Full House, whether like the teen stuff, 90210, Gossip Girl. Some of those haven't premiered yet. Some of them probably just not our wheelhouse. So I couldn't really think of any. I feel like it's more of a new phenomenon. If you think about what has inspired TV, they tend to be either originals or just reboots. Were you able to think of any?
I want to give specifically Sharp Objects a big shout out, and then also just going on the Jean-Marc Vallée train. I don't know if I pronounced his name right. I'm sorry if I didn't. Big Little Lies, season one, not two. Well, let's just pretend like two never happened, even though Meryl Streep, we love you.
Didn't even watch it because everyone said not to.
Don't do it.
To be honest, and this is such like a sign of the times, I only was going to watch it so that I would understand the gifts, but like, who has the time?
No one. Life's too short. There's too much content out there.
Yeah, so
okay.
Moving on.
Favorite childhood remake, something we watched when we were little. That's where I was going with this question.
Something we watched when we were little that has since then been rebooted, or something that we watched when we were little that was a remake.
Gotcha. That was a remake.
Okay, so this might be cheating. I don't think it is, because it's basically like the same as West Side Story. So my answer is Sound of Music, which along with West Side Story is in like my top five all time. And it was adapted on the stage musical. So that's mine, because that's basically like my number one. And that was an adaptation. So
that's a good one.
What was yours?
I have two. Mine are The Parent Trap, featuring an introductory performance, the debut performance, and introducing Lindsay Lohan. That one.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to go Hayley Mills on this, but no. Yeah, good to know. AKA Miss Something or Other on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. And my second one is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. Yay! I don't know why, but I love that. I fucking love that VHS. I watched it over and over. And it also kind of scared me.
I'm going to get a lot of hate mail from the viewers that we don't have. I've like never really understood the Muppets.
I mean, okay, so neither have I.
I will say that my one pop culture connection, and if you haven't seen this, I'm going to make you watch it. There was that great clip that went viral of basically someone had cut together from different Muppets movie, or maybe like just the Muppets Went to New York movie. They basically did almost like a very shot for shot close recreation of the A Star is Born trailer featuring Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Oh,
it is
God.
Incredible. And I've watched it 1,000 times, this fake trailer. And that's mostly my connection with the Muppets.
Oh my God. I've not seen that yet. And I'm really upset that I haven't.
It is phenomenal. I'm going to send it to you immediately after this.
On that note, we're going to take another commercial break.
We are. And I'm on the side going to send you this thing, and then we're going to discuss it after.
So we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I have watched the trailer of A Star is Born. It was wonderful.
Was it not?
Great editing. Great editing by Kevin T. Porter of Gilmore Guys fame. Loved the pod, Kevin. Great editing skills. Loved it. Very emotional, emotionally resonant work.
Should win a Webby or whatever we're giving out these days.
Should win something. Should win something for sure. Okay, so our next question is, and you know, we're almost done, guys. Hang in there. What's your favorite sequel?
Okay, so Havana Nights, which we previously discussed, was definitely on my list. I'll quickly say my other two were Godfather 2 and Logan, if you consider that a sequel to The Wolverine, which I think is the best out of the entire like X-Men like live action stuff.
I would agree with that. I have a really soft spot in my heart for X-Men First Class.
I agree with that, but I was saying to somebody that it didn't feel like an adaptation per se, especially if you like grew up with like the Fox animated like X-Men, like it doesn't necessarily feel like the same. But I agree, just like a standalone, I'd say that and Logan were the best ones.
Right. But you know what kind of annoys me is that how come, and this is just a gripe now, but how come X-Men Days of Future fucking Past or whatever that one is always streaming somewhere, but I can't find X-Men First Class streaming anywhere. Can somebody tell me?
That's the good one, baby. They're probably like saving that and like monetizing it some other premium way.
Fuck that shit.
Because I didn't even watch the past one because everyone like just trashed it so hard. Apologies to anybody who worked on that, but like, sorry, everyone said it was real
Dark
bad.
Phoenix. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. Dark Phoenix and the Days Past.
I feel like Days of Future Past is actually a fan favorite. I could be wrong. Really? I could be wrong, but it's not my favorite. My favorite is definitely First Class, and we should do an X-Men ranked episode.
I'll have to watch some of them because I skipped some of them, to be honest, or I watched them and like just didn't register with me.
I mean, there's a lot, but we could do an X-Men ranked one. I think that would be fun. Apocalypse is like the terrible one with Olivia Munn. I really like Olivia Munn, but it was a bad one. And then I think Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix are the two biggest stinkers for sure. And it was disappointing because I love that story and I really like Sophie Turner and I really, really wanted it to be good. It just wasn't. So, you know, here we are.
Sads.
Yeah.
Can't win them all. Especially when you're trying to churn out that many big superhero type stuff. I mean, it's tricky.
Yeah. My pick was the cinematic masterpiece, the iconic, the unforgettable Fast Five.
Oh boy. I should have known this was coming. I truly don't know why I wasn't expecting it to be an FF, which interestingly enough, I think this is like a misattribution on Wikipedia. So shout out to somebody who might want to fix this, but true or false, the original Fast and the Furious is based on something, based like on an old movie.
I actually think it might be based on something Asian, but I could be wrong.
So I read two things on Wikipedia. One was that the original was based on an article. I don't know if it was a Times article, but yeah, I think it was a Times article about street racing in New York.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But then
the
internet also said that it was based on some, like, old film.
I think that's right. I think that's
both
right.
Both of
that
them
it was based
or
in,
the article?
I think it probably was a combination of both things.
Interesting.
But I think we should put a pin in this and do our research and come back with a Fast and the Furious episode.
Oh boy. Okay. And just for like reference for like people who are not as Fast Furious advanced as you, was Fast Five the last one with Paul Walker?
No, it was not.
Okay. Was it the penultimate?
I believe the last one with our dear beloved, rest in peace, Paul, we love you, it was either 6 or 7. And one of them, he had passed away in the middle of shooting, I believe, and then they brought in his brother. Yeah, it was 7. I'm gonna cry. So let's
pin the tears.
Okay.
We're gonna put them on a corkboard and we're gonna come back to it.
Uh-huh. And so my second pick was also Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, because Diego Luna, I love you. Diego Luna, I fucking love you.
It was just so great. It had like a different, completely, it was its own story. It had its own vibe. It was a different city, correct? Like, we're talking Havana versus, was it Miami? Was the original in Miami, I want to say? Or am I just completely making that up?
No, the original was in,
it was in like the north,
the
northeast.
Catskills
New
York. Right. Fun fact, a lot of people don't remember this, but the original version of Hips Don't Lie, Shakira's mega hit, which was recently performed on the Super Bowl, was featured in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
But was not released as like a soundtrack single, correct? This wasn't like a Simon and Garfunkel situation, right?
No, Shakira redid it, which is very apropos for this podcast, but she
redid it for the movie?
I don't believe it was like released as a single from the soundtrack, but like a year or two after the movie came out, Shakira redid that song and released it as Hips Don't Lie.
Interesting. That is a fun fact. I did not know that. Thank you. Thank you for that.
So our last question is, what's something that hasn't been adapted yet or remade or rebooted that should be? I don't really have a good answer for this one because I think I'm cheating with my answer because I already know it's being adapted. So
it's fine.
It's There There by Tommy Orange.
I don't think I know about it. Tell me and our listeners about it.
So There There, if for those of you who haven't read it yet, you should. It's just beautifully written. He's a gorgeous writer. Tommy Orange is Native American, and he wrote basically an intertwining novel about 12 Native people who are all kind of taking different journeys to culminate to go to this powwow, and something happens. But it's just a really beautifully written book. It came out maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. Nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. It was one of Obama's favorite books of the year. And so I believe it's being adapted into a miniseries.
And do you feel like that's the right format? Versus
yeah,
a movie?
For sure. I think it does have to be done in series form just because of the volume of characters. There's no way that all of that story could fit into a movie, I don't think.
That won't stop certain folks, I'm sure, from trying. But no, that's a great pick. Thank you for that. I'm adding that to my list, my ever-growing reading list that will never be complete, but that's okay.
You should read it. It's beautiful. It's a really good book.
That feels like a much more original pick than mine.
Well, it's just because I saw the book right before I went into my pod closet. So that's how
Ooh,
I picked
pod
it.
Pod closet. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's like wash closet, but for pods. Okay. Probably shouldn't mix those two imageries together.
No.
My first answer originally was Uncanny Valley, which again does feel like very recency bias, which was the recent memoir. She's now a New Yorker writer who was basically writing about her experiences in Silicon Valley as someone who wasn't really in the industry before. It's Anna Weiner. I'm assuming it's Weiner. It's basically about, you know, San Francisco and tech culture in like, I think it's like the mid-late 2000s, early 2010s. And I feel like, you know, there's Silicon Valley, the comedy series. There's been a few other kind of series and movies out there, but I feel like they, A, are much more focused on a male point of view, or they just take a very comedic route. So I'd love to see a female perspective. And so, but I wasn't sure if that one would work completely on its own, but it also kind of reminded me of this other book called Sourdough from 2017 by Robin Sloan. I'm just going to read like a quick description. It's a novel about an overworked and under-socialized software engineer discovering a calling and a community as a baker. So it's basically this woman who I think she moves from like Michigan to San Francisco, is working at this like tech company doing these like crazy robotics engineering stuff. And she somehow finds baking to be her like side hobby. But there's a lot of interesting parallels between like baking and like her personal growth and things like that. So it's kind of like, I think something with that, those two things, not necessarily combined, but there's something about like, I think also especially Sourdough is very timely right now, mm-hmm. As like a quarantine hobby. But I think there's something with, again, wanting to have like a female San Francisco culture, tech culture perspective that's maybe not full out like satire like Silicon Valley is, but maybe isn't like super dramatic either, somewhere kind of in the middle. So I'd say like Sourdough would be like the main adaptation, but I think like there are other themes that would kind of come in from books like Uncanny Valley that would also touch upon the same things about like being a woman in tech and things like that. It kind of also made me think of Sweet Bitter, which
I love Sweet Bitter.
Even though I didn't finish the book or watch the TV show.
Oh my God, you should finish the book. The book is so good.
Okay.
I will say
so many things to read.
One note about Robin Sloan though, he is a man. Yeah, he's a man. Just in case anybody felt like confused, because gender neutral names are confusing. And also, I want to give Mr. Penumbra's 24-hour bookstore a big shout out, because that's also one of my favorite books, and I'm surprised it hasn't gotten adapted yet either. So
there you go. Yeah, I think the feminist perspective definitely comes from Anna's book,
right?
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah,
but I thought the way that Robin wrote about, I think it's more about like kind of like the overwork tech culture and kind of finding outlets and how those things,
right.
I don't know, that was just like deeply personal to me and I really resonated with that. So I think a combination of those kinds of themes,
right,
would work really well, in the same way that I think Sweet Bitter, at least from what I read so far, like seems to kind of have like a, it's almost like a coming of age in the restaurant industry for a young woman. It's kind of like that, but in tech and San Francisco culture. And Anna does a really great job at like really giving a detailed view into what that life was like, even though it's the very recent past. I still feel like it was a very specific point in time. I think it should just work as a movie. I think if they tried to do a series, it would be a little thin. I think you could probably write a, maybe not like a tight 90 rom-com, but like maybe something a little bit longer than that. And yeah. I would love to see it on the screen, if not for gratuitous baking shots. So that's my pick.
Oh, gotta love gratuitous baking shots.
I'll shout out really quickly a graphic novel called Bloom. I should look that up. But it's I mostly bought it for gratuitous like graphic novel drawings of bakeries, pastries.
Wow, all I do is watch Great British Bake Off over and over. But yeah, I would highly recommend, if you can't get through Sweet Bitter by reading it, listen to the audiobook. It's one of my favorite audiobook recordings. I feel like it just so accurately captures New York in that time and what it's like specifically to be in New York in the summer, that it's just so good. I love it. I love it so much. Okay, cool. We got through our first episode. We did it.
We did it.
Yay. So if you didn't know already, or you couldn't tell, we love pop culture, and we'll do a different variety of episodes, hopefully.
We should also, probably do a round of all the things that we talked about and put links to, yes, like the books and stuff, just to make it easier. And I'll confirm Bloom is the name of the graphic novel I was just talking about, but we'll put it up in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we hope you stick with us and check out our next episode.
Bye.
Bye.